Talk Radio 570 KVI.
Coming up here on 19 minutes after 8 o'clock, John Carlson, Talk Radio 570 KVI. All right, Jay Inslee going to be joining us momentarily. And he probably didn't like the story he read in the morning paper here today. When he takes office in January, he will be facing a projected $900 million deficit for the next two-year budget cycle. Which means, to set the table here, that let's say the proposed budget is about $33 billion. They expect to have $900 million less for legislators and the governor to spend on that budget than they had earlier estimated. Anyway, we can ask him about it directly because Governor-elect Jay Inslee joins me now on Talk Radio 570 KVI. Hello, Jay Inslee. How are you?
John, I'm enthusiastic and optimistic. So that's what I am this morning, and I hope to be that for 4 years.
Well, now, I had earlier assumed that you wanted to join me here on KVI so you could publicly ask me in a gesture of reaching across the aisle to chair your transition team, but I see you've already filled the spot.
John, you've got a more exalted status, which is leading the intellectual discourse on radio.
You know,
I don't want you to take a take a demotion there.
Well, I know a lot of great people who need jobs, you see.
We do. And I am happy about the people who have agreed to help us, though. It's a good group. You know, we've got Brad Smith, who's been a great business leader.
In Microsoft.
And a real leader in science and technology education efforts in the area at Microsoft. And Mary Alice Huschel, who's just done spectacular things in the public schools in Renton. You know, they've got a 90% graduation rate, which she's improved about 28% by bringing innovations to schools. And Dr. Elson Floyd at WSU, who's really led a great effort to expand access, which we know is so pivotal to economic development across the state. And, you know, just visiting the WSU campuses around the state and seeing how they've used online technology to bring efficiency to education and really expand access. I think it's a good mix for us, and these are people who I hope to help attract talent from Democrats, Republicans, and Independents across the state.
So let me ask you, on election day, did you know you were going to win?
No, did not. We always felt this was going to be a close race, and we worked right down to the aisle. You may have seen us down on the intersections in Renton on election day, you know, holding our signs. So we were pedal to the metal right to the end, and so were tens of thousands of people. It was a very labor-intensive campaign with literally tens of thousands of folks who were out talking to their neighbors, and that was the right thing to do. It ended up about a two-point margin, I think. Okay.
Yeah, State Chairman Democratic Chairman Dwight Pelz said that because of some very sophisticated modeling, he said he knew about 5 days out that you were going to win.
There were some folks, and it is interesting, there are people who do this modeling, frankly, and it is quite impressive, and there were some projections that I was aware of in that regard, but that's not my style to leave any stone unturned, and I'm going to be, taking it to the hoop to the last buzzer goes off, and that's the way we were.
Let's go from politics to policy. This morning's paper, you're going to be taking office in January, and it looks like the Washington State Forecast Council says you'll have $900 million less to spend than projected. You'll be facing a $900 million deficit for a budget that I'm guessing will be in the neighborhood of $33 billion or so. Now, during the campaign, you said you would be able to balance the state's budget without new taxes. In light of this new economic forecast, can you still do that?
Well, I still believe that we need to focus on economic development in the state as the central fundamental strategy for solving our fiscal problems. And the reason I believe that is that if you look at the fiscal situation in the state of Washington, there is one thing that is readily apparent, and that the reason for the fiscal problems is the lack of employment in the state of Washington. We have had a $4.2 billion shortfall, not just $900 million, in a sense, as a result of the unemployment caused by the recklessness on Wall Street that precipitated the recession, which I voted against, by the way, the deregulation of Wall Street. So I think you have to really attack the central cause of a problem, and the central cause of this problem is unemployment. And so I am going to continue on day one to pursue my job creation strategy that I think, reason to believe can succeed across the state of Washington. I also do believe that there are some signs of economic recovery happening, and I hate to say it, even before I take the oath of office. I just, you know, I was talking to an architect in Seattle today who told me that she's in an international architecture firm, and Seattle's one of the three cities where there's the most interest for actually economic development right now in the world today. They have an international architecture firm. So I'm going to continue this effort to build a job creation engine in the state of Washington. Now, there are three other things we're going to do as in addition to that. One, we are going to attack medical care inflation rates, mm-hmm. which are essentially siphoning money out of our educational system into the healthcare budget. And I intend to be very proactive and very aggressive in adopting a preventative healthcare model in our state that can save and will save millions of dollars. And I know that this can be done because it is being done in certain places around our state right now. I mean, you look at the Wenatchee Valley Clinic that has saved 18% by adopting this approach.
Let me ask you a question that I don't think came up during the campaign. The state's voters decided by about a 10 percentage point margin to legalize marijuana. Now, if the Washington State Patrol pulls someone over and makes an arrest, they search them. They find marijuana in their pocket. Marijuana is still illegal under federal law. The voters have called for its legalization here in Washington State. The State Patrol, of course, is under the aegis of the governor, Washington State. You appoint the state, the head of the State Patrol. What do you want the State Patrol to do if they find someone with marijuana during a roadside arrest?
John, this is why you are a great talk show host. You ask these great provocative questions, and I appreciate that. And it's actually an important question. As you know, I was not supportive of the initiative, but I do intend to respect the will of the people and this decision. So first thing I'm going to do is to talk with the administration and try to convince them to respect Washington voters and our local decision in this regard to essentially not use our law enforcement resources for this purpose, but to use them for other purposes that our voters have concluded are more significant for public safety. So the first thing I'm going to do is to try to get the federal government to not put a red light on our ability to make our own local decision in this regard. And I hope that we'll be successful on that. And I think there's a good argument why they should respect local decision-making on a local issue right now. That's number one. If that does not happen, then we'll have to reassess this. But I don't think that our local law enforcement agencies are necessarily responsible for the federal prosecution and investigation. So my inclination would to say that we're going to enforce state law, and there is no legal responsibility for our state law enforcement authorities to act as agents for the federal government. But I hope it doesn't come to that, because I'm hoping that we can reach an agreement with the federal government that will allow our state to, you know, frankly, to be a laboratory for democracy. You know, this is how our country has worked. We have allowed states to adopt new policies to see how they work, and the rest of the country sometimes has learned from that. So we hope this federalism will be accepted by the administration.
All right. Moving to what Ross Hunter has said, of course, Bellevue State Representative, Democrat, member of the Revenue Forecast Council. He chairs House Ways and Means. He says, I want to quote him here, that he doesn't think it's, quote, numerically possible to have a budget that doesn't have a revenue increase, close quote. If the legislature sends you a tax increase, and, of course, it will not be passed with a two-thirds supermajority which would reflect the will of the people in Initiative 1185. But if they send you a tax increase, would you sign it?
Well, yeah, I do believe we need new revenues for the state, and I made this very clear, and I think the way to do that is through job creation, by putting people back to work who then become more economically active and generate more sales tax revenue. And that's the principal way out of this hole. Now, I do believe there are some additional revenues that can be made available by closing some of the corporate loopholes that have existed for decades and are no longer economically productive. And I am going to ask the legislature to review these, and those that are not economically productive need to be closed, and those funds used in our paramount duty, which is the education of our students. And I think that's the right approach. It's the approach I will be advocating with the legislature. And, excuse me, and I've got a little frog in my throat here. John,
and you know what? I hate to say this, but we are out of time.
I'll be back.
We'd love to have you back. And I thank you for making the time today. It's a very busy transition period for you. Congratulations on your victory, and thanks for joining us here this morning.
We'll talk again. Thanks a lot.
Look forward to it. That's Governor-elect Jay Inslee.